on page 249 of the Common Worship Books as we join together in the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We hear our Lord's summary of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' Second is this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign Lady Queen Elizabeth and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the collect of Christ the King. God the Father, help us to hear the call of Christ the King and to follow in his service, whose kingdom has no end. For he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, one glory. Amen. Now we hear our first reading.
Our first reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 15 to verse 23. And it's on page 1173 of the Church Bibles. Just by introduction, it starts by saying, "for this reason," which obviously points back to earlier verses. Paul has been speaking about us being, the Ephesians and us being called and chosen by God and blessed with all spiritual blessings, including the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because of all these spiritual blessings, he says, "for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel reading. Reading is from Matthew's gospel, chapter 25, beginning to read at the 31st verse. It'll be found on page 995 in the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. To remain standing, we affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now please sit, and Matt will come and speak to us.
Well, good morning. It's 8:15 on a Sunday morning, and we're here. But let's keep our Bibles open to Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. David said that in just turning up, you're 90% of the way there, but he hasn't heard me speak yet. So we'll see how that goes. As David said, my name is Matt Beer. I'm an ordinand at Ridley. And I'm married to Emily, and we have a little black spaniel. Let's pray as we start. Father, may I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we're looking at the sheep and the goats, I was reminded of a holiday that we've just recently been on to Kefalonia. I don't know if anyone's been to Kefalonia, but we rented a car and we went driving all over the island. And one day we had sort of come all the way up the side of this mountain and had to almost slam on the brakes because all of a sudden there was this, what looked like a goat herd in the middle of the road. But of course they weren't goats, they were sheep. There were some goats in the mix, but they looked the same. They weren't as white and fluffy as the sheep we have in the UK, but they just looked like goats. And this is just some of the imagery that I want us to hang on to as we look at Matthew 25. That they look the same. They hang out together. The sheep and the goats were intermingled on our holiday and in the middle of that flock. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in his heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is one thing we really need to remember, is it's Jesus doing the separation here. It's not us. When we read this passage, we are either faced with guilt or we're faced with pride. The guilt being, oh no, what have I done? I'm not doing enough. I'm not meeting the needs of the world. Or on the other side, we're met with pride. Oh, well, I'm doing okay. I've done some of this, so I'm surely right. But if we think either of those things, we've missed the point of the passage. The sheep and the goats see the same things. Hungry, thirsty, strange, naked, sick, and people in prison. They both see those people. But they do different things. The goats do nothing. The sheep feed the hungry, give something to drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoner. Well, it is 8:15 in the morning, and there are some massive theological things we have to wrestle with here. Speaking to some colleagues, they said ordinands either get given Trinity Sunday, where they have to try and think about the Trinity and how that relates, or they get the sheep and the goats. So here we go. Here is the sheep and the goats. And we have some large theological issues to deal with. One thing we need to remember, though, is we are sheep. By trusting in God, having faith in Jesus, we are sheep. We have come to know him. We have a relationship with Christ. So we are sheep. But is that what this passage is actually saying to us? We can either come down on works. Are we justified by works? Or are we justified by faith? And what I really want to think about is it out of that relationship with Jesus that all of these works happen, rather than doing it for our salvation? As the sheep and the goats did different things, the goats did nothing and the sheep fed and did all of those amazing things, Jesus does something different as well. He treats them differently. For the sheep on his right, he says, you will have eternal life. Verses 46 says, but the righteous to eternal life. The goats will depart from me, but the sheep will have eternal life. The righteous will have eternal life. Both groups say the same thing. Lord, we didn't see you. Where were you when we saw all of these things? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? They both saw the same need. The sheep and the goats saw the same, but did different things. I wonder what it means for us to see the least in the kingdom. Is it the people we come into contact with on a daily basis? Is it the people we work with? Is it the people selling the big issue at Tesco's? Well, these are the least in the kingdom. We ourselves can be the least in the kingdom. But again, we need to be careful that we don't think about this passage with works, all about works. I'm justified, I'm righteous because of the things I do. We need to not fall down on the guilt or the pride side. I don't do enough. Oh, I do some, so I must be okay. We are only justified by Christ and faith in Christ alone. And out of that relationship with Christ do all of these things happen. It almost happens as it just bubbles out. If our relationship with Jesus isn't what it is, we tend to look inward. Oh, what about myself? But when we know and love Jesus, it becomes an external thing. We want to feed the sick, feed the hungry, or clothe the naked, or go and visit people in prison. We want to do that because of our relationship with Christ. Christ has done it for us. So we almost want to always do it for other people, although that might not be what happens. But we'll let the Holy Spirit be speaking to us on that. I'm not the judge, or nor is David, but Christ is, and Christ knows what we do. So just as you're sitting and listening, why don't you just be asking the Holy Spirit about this passage? Lord, what am I? Am I more like a goat, or am I more like a sheep? Jesus says in John 15 that we are no longer slaves, but friends, that we know what the master's doing. He no longer calls us slaves, but friends. And as friends of Jesus, we know what we need to do. We need to do it out of that love, out of that friendship, out of that relationship, and not fear. When we read this passage, we can go, oh no, I don't do that. Do I need to be scared of Jesus about this? And the answer is no. He calls us friends. He calls us into that relationship. So we need not fear. So, well, what is the good news in this passage? Well, firstly, keep on going. If we're clothing the sick, feeding the sick, clothing the naked, and so on. Keep on going. Keep on doing it. Secondly, we need to trust that Jesus is the only way to the Father and faith in him for our salvation, not the things we do. It's very easy for people in ministry to, in whatever sense, both ordained or lay or just out in the community, to go, oh, well, I'm just doing all of this stuff, and we forget about Jesus. And it's him that we need to focus on. And out of our relationship with him, that leads us into action. And one thing we also need to remember from this passage is that it's Jesus that does the judging, not us, not the people we come into contact with. It's Jesus that does it. Our Lord and Master, but also our friend. As I was preparing for this, I read a little article, and in the article was a man who said, I had this vision. I went out into the streets and took my coat off and gave it to someone sitting at the side of the road. And when I got home, I prayed, Lord, would that be a blessing to that person? Then he said he had the dream that night and he saw the glory of heaven, Christ as king, and he was wearing his coat. Jesus wearing the man's coat. What you did to the least of these, you did to me. But let's remember, it's out of that love for Jesus that we do these things, not of our own ambition. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Let's move now to our offertory time. And a different sentence, perhaps more appropriate to the theme. So we stand for the offertory. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help?